Good evening. Welcome to the first part of a new series in Hilchos Havdalah. Tonight's focus on Havdalah will specifically be women and Havdalah. And I don't know if anyone saw my subtitle. I don't know if it got out on time. But do you really grow a beard? And actually, I always thought it was a Baba Maisa, but I found out that it's a Baba Maisa, but not such a Baba Maisa. We will discuss where it came from, how it started, when it started, why it might be, why it might not be. So let's start with the mitzvah of Havdalah. Is Havdalah a mitzvah? Okay, let's rephrase that. Is Havdalah a mitzvah midaraisa or midarabanan? Who holds that it's a mitzvah daraisa? Who holds that it's a mitzvah darabanan? Okay, most of us don't hold. Let me read to you a Rambam, which won't be totally explicit, but if we listen carefully, we'll sort of figure it out. Mitzvot aseh min ha-Torah. Don't fall for that, because it didn't say that it's to make Havdalah. L'kadesh es yom ha-Shabbos b'dvarim. To sanctify the Sabbath day with words. Shne'emar zachor es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadesho. V'tzarech li'zachrehu, says the Rambam. You have to remember Shabbos. Obviously with your mouth, b'chnisaso uvitziaso, when it enters and when it leaves. B'chnisaso, when it enters, b'kiddush hayom, with making kiddush, uvitziaso, and when Shabbos exits, b'havdalah. So it sounds pretty clearly that there's one mitzvah called Zachor Asim HaShabbos HaKacho, made it into the Big Ten, and that mitzvah midaraisa, one of the Aseres HaDibros, has two ways to fulfill that one pasuk. You have to fulfill it as Shabbos enters, as Shabbos go out. That's called remembering Shabbos. And that will be a fulfillment of a mitzvah d'oraisa. That means Havdalah, according to this Rambam's opinion, clearly is mitzvah d'oraisa. Of course, if there's somebody who says it's d'oraisa, there has to be somebody else who argues and says it's d'rabbanan. And Baruch Hashem, we're safe. That is the case here too. We'll see somebody in a few minutes who will see who it is, but right now I'll just tell you that there are some other Rishonim who say that mitzvah is only, I'm sorry, that Havdalah is only midrabanan, even though Kiddush will be midaraisa. In other words, everyone agrees, and I think it's an explicit Gemara, I don't have it in front of me, but I think there's an explicit Gemara that says that Kiddush is the fulfillment of Zachor Asim HaShabbos HaKadosho. Whether or not Havdalah also makes its way into that pasuk or not, that's machlokas. Okay. So, let's take it a step further. The Rambam said very importantly that the mitzvah of Zachor Asim HaShabbos HaKadosho is fulfilled with your mouth. It did not say that you need grape juice, wine, fire, besamim. Continues the Rambam, a few halachas later in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chavtes, 29. The Rambam that I mentioned was 29, halacha Aleph. Now we're going to do halacha Vav, of the same Perek Chavtes. The Rambam continues and says, it's a mitzvah midivrei sofrim, which means, it certainly means it's not d'oraisa, perhaps it means d'rabbanan, or a higher level than d'rabbanan, but less than d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah midivrei sofrim, l'kadesh al hayayin, or l'havdil al hayayin. So yayin is, let's assume, rabbinic in nature, whereas the saying, the Kiddush, the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Haolam, Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol, Bein Or L'Choshech, Bein Yisrael Amin, Bein Yom HaShir, Shir Yisrael Ma'aseh, that is a fulfillment of mitzvah d'oraisa, according to the Rambam. Now, okay, so let's talk, that's just a general introduction, is Kiddush, is Havdalah d'oraisa, d'rabbanan, machlokas. Let's talk about women. First of all, are women obligated to make Kiddush? And once we could figure that out, we could probably figure out, are women obligated to make Havdalah? Probably. We'll see if it is necessarily flowing or not. Do women have to make Kiddush? Yes or no?
Yes.
Midaraisa. Obvious question, isn't Kiddush a mitzvah asay shazman grama, about which women are exempt? What's the answer to that? What? I'm sorry? No, either way, even though it's just at night or just during the day. Well, first of all, the Rambam said the real Kiddush is when Shabbos enters. So Kiddush during the day is not really Kiddush. It's just like a funny thing that you and I call Kiddush. But it's not really called. It's not really a mitzvah of Kiddush. We call it Kiddush, but it's not really Kiddush. Kiddush is when Shabbos comes in. So, yeah? Oh, you learned the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Chaf. Baruch Hashem. Michal is in the middle of Masechet Shavuos right now, getting ready for Shavuos, which is coming up in just 2-3 weeks. Says the Gemara, we've heard the line before, we never heard the significance, we might not have been familiar with its significance. Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad ne'emru. There are two sets of Aseres HaDibros. One says, Zachar siyam HaShabbos l'katsho. The other says, Shamar siyam HaShabbos l'katsho. There's a contradiction. Which one, which is the real truth that God uttered at Har Sinai? The answer is he did both. In a way that you can't speak it and I can't understand it, Hashem could. So he said Zachar and Shamar simultaneously. Great. Why would God do such a thing? To teach us a lesson. To teach us that there's an interlink, there's an interconnection, there's an interrelation between Shamar on one hand and Zachar on the other hand. What's Shamar? Shamar is safeguard not to do mitzvahs lo ta'aseh. Who's obligated mitzvahs lo ta'aseh? Everybody. Including women. Zachar is a mitzvah saseh. Shazman grama. That theoretically, women ought not to be chayavosin. However, why did Hashem put the two together? To tell us. Kol sheyeshna b'shmira, anyone who is in the category of shamar es yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho, yeshno, he is in also, that person is in b'zachar. So therefore, if women are obligated not to violate Shabbos, not to do malacha, which they certainly are, because it's a mitzvah lo ta'aseh, so too, they are obligated in Zachar. So women are obligated mida araisa in Kiddush. Zachar is Yama Shabbos l'katsho, the mitzvah of Kiddush. Women are obligated mida araisa. I'll go on a quick tangent. Where else do we see in the Torah the concept of two things said b'dibur echad? Well, Naseres HaDibros, that's the most famous one. There are a few others. Anyone familiar? I'll tell you the rule, and you tell me if you can think of any of the specifics. The rule is, whenever there are two mitzvos, or two lines of the Torah, that obligate me to do or not do something, that by definition contradict one another. Who could think of two mitzvos, or a mitzvah and a lo ta'aseh, that by definition contradict one another? You can't do one if you do the other. You can't do the other if you do one. If you do one, you violate the other. What? Correct. Tzitzis, which is done with wool, and the tcheles is wool, and the other things are linen, or the beged is linen, and the shatnez says you can't have that. That's correct. So there, that's one case where there's a steer between tzitzis and shatnez. Yes, where else do we have that kind of model? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with dead brother-in-laws. Yibum, wow, that's a good one. You picked it up, wow. Okay, so Yibum and the Issa Daraisa of marrying your dead brother-in-law. Eshes Ach. So there, the Torah says you can't marry a dead brother-in-law. Then there's somewhere else, the Torah says, there's a mitzvah to marry your dead brother-in-law. So your dead sister, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. There's a mitzvah for a man to marry his dead brother's wife. That was his dead brother's sister-in-law. Whatever, you got the point. So there also, there's a contradiction in the Pesukim. Mitzvahs Yibum, by definition, always will go against this other Pasuk of Yibum. The Mitzvah of Yibum will always go against this other Pasuk of Yeshasach. So I think the Gemara points out, I don't remember where, that the way this happened is that Hashem sort of told us both simultaneously of some sort, and therefore, it's okay, you could do it. Okay, so those are just a few examples where we have this concept of Zachar v'Shamar b'dibur echad ne'emru, and we therefore come out that women are obligated midaraisa in Kiddush. Now, once they're obligated in Kiddush, what is going to be the deal with Havdalah? So, we started off 5 minutes ago with the Rambam. The Rambam says that what is Havdalah? Havdalah is one of the two ways to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar siyam HaShabbos l'kadsho. So let's do very simple math. I know it's a long day, we'll do very simple math. The Rambam said that Havdalah is part of Zachar. And the Gemara said that anyone in Shamar has to do Zachar. Women who have Shamar have to do Zachar. So my question is, do women have to do Havdalah midaraisa? According to this math, yes. Because the Rambam said that Havdalah is a mitzvah of Zachar, Yom HaShabbos l'kadsho. And Zachar Siyam HaShabbos l'kadsho is obligated, women are obligated to do that. So if Havdalah is part of Zachar, so women are obligated in Zachar, including Havdalah, which is part of Zachar. And that is the opinion of the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah is, interestingly enough, a Rishon who was explained the Rambam. You don't usually, if you have somebody who explains a Rishon, you're usually an Acharon. Just historically, that's what ended up happening. The split between Rishonim and Acharonim was around the time of the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the Shulchan Aruch was written in about the 1500s, early 1500s. So anyone like in 1400s and earlier, we consider a Rishon, who's much more authoritative. And anyone post-Shulchan Aruch, basically, is an Acharon who's less authoritative. So rarely do you have Rishonim who themselves comment or give a perish on other Rishonim. You have a few. Magen Mishnah was one such Rishon who explained the Rambam. And he points out that according to the Rambam, that Zachar, that Havdalah is a part of the mitzvah Zachar. So women who have to do Shomer also have to do Zachar. Women have to do Havdalah midaraisa. However, let's talk about the following. I mentioned earlier that there's another opinion who holds that Havdalah is only midrabanan. In general. Always. Every man, woman, you know, anything, everybody. Havdalah is midrabanan. If according to that opinion, will women have to do Havdalah? But why did I say a minute ago that women do have to do Havdalah? Because it's Zachar. And women have Zachar. Even though it's a mitzvah seseisha zman grama. Now think carefully here. That's great if you hold that it's Zachar. Meaning really, let's take a step back. If I didn't have this Zachar and Shomar thing obligating women, what would I say about Kiddush and Havdalah and all these kinds of positive Shabbos dikah mitzvahs? I would say about all of them that they're mitzvahs asei shazman grama. So I would think that women should be exempt from Havdalah, from Kiddush. It happens to be that according to the Rambam, Zachar is connected to Shomer, and Havdalah is part of Zachar. So it ends up that women are going to be ending up being chayav in Havdalah, even though it's mitzvahs asei shazman grama. But if you hold that it's only midrabanan, if you hold that Havdalah in general is only midrabanan, that means it's not a fulfillment of Zachar. Listen very carefully here. If you hold that Havdalah on a regular basis has not a fulfillment of Zachar, it's just a mitzvah. After Shabbos, make Havdalah. Not because the Torah says, remember Shabbos, lekad sho. Just, there's a mitzvah called Havdalah. Well, that's a mitzvah. Asei, shazman grama, women should be exempt. And that is actually the opinion of the Orchos Chaim. The Orchos Chaim, I believe the Rashmi Shantz. There's a Rishonim, I'm not sure if the same person, two different people. But he or they hold that Havdalah is an independent mitzvah. It's not part of Zachar, it's an independent mitzvah. And if it is an independent mitzvah, it's a mitzvah taseh, shazman grama, women are exempt. Based on that, we come to something that is very significant, halacha lemaisa, for you, the women of our community. Why? Because, according to this opinion, women are exempt from Havdalah. And therefore what? Well, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim chayavos behavdalah. Women are obligated in Havdalah, kishem, just like that they're chayavos in Kiddush. Now, by the way, my friends, you realize how beautiful that nusach of the Shulchan Aruch is. What is he saying, just like women are obligated in Kiddush? What is he saying with those three words? You and I know what it really means. Those three words are referencing that Gemara that we said earlier, that women should be pater in Havdalah, but they're only chayav because it's part of Zachar, and women are, since they're chayav in Zachar, they're also chayav, since they're chayav in Shomer, they're also chayav in Zachar. So just like they're chayav in Zachar, they're also chayav, just like they're chayav in Kiddush, so too they're also chayav in Havdalah. Okay, so we appreciate the Nusach. That's the first line of the Shulchan Aruch. The next three words, though, after the Shulchan Aruch says the women do have to make Havdalah, the Shulchan Aruch concludes that there is somebody who argues. There's an opinion who says that women do not have an obligation of Havdalah whatsoever. So, what are we going to do with that? Continues the Shulchan Aruch, adds the Rama the following line. Therefore, a woman should not make Havdalah on her own. Rather, she should hear Havdalah from somebody else, from a man, from a male. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch brings the machlokas whether women are obligated in Havdalah or not. And the Ramah says, because it's a machlokas, and because we have deference, we want to be careful about that opinion who says that they are not obligated. So if they're not obligated, so they're saying a bracha for no reason, no apparent reason. So that should be avoided. And therefore they should fulfill the mitzvah by listening to a man, a male, make Havdalah. And that is where some of you might have heard or practice yourselves. I know we live in a house, my parents live in a house in Flatbush, and next door to our house is a three-family house. On the top floor of the three-family house, it's a smaller apartment than the bottom two floors. And usually, sometimes you have some single people who are going to college or graduate school. So at one point, a few years ago, there were two or three young ladies who rented that top apartment. So every Motzei Shabbos, they would knock on my parents' door, and my father would make Kiddush, make Havdalah, I'm sorry, for them, every Motzei Shabbos, they were in town because of this Ramah, that a woman should not make Havdalah for herself. Rather, she should be Yotzei with a man because she might not be obligated in Havdalah. Any questions about this? Kiddush is daraisa. That's the fulfillment of Zacharias Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Yeah, no one argues on that. And no one argues on the fact that if Kiddush is daraisa from Zacharias Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, that whoever has Shamar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho also is obligated to Zachar. So everyone's going to hold that Kiddush is midaraisa, both for men and for women. Havdalah, women might be daraisa or darabanan. If it's daraisa, then women, if it's daraisa part of Zachar, so women have Zachar, they also have Havdalah. If it's Drabbanan, it might not be part of Zachar. And if it's not part of Zachar, it's just a regular mitzvah Drabbanan. After regular mitzvah Drabbanan, so mitzvah to say Shazman Grama, women will be exempt. Okay? There are a few steps here. It's not the easiest. Yes?
I'm just wondering when we, this is what the Ramah says, when we get,
Ashkenazim definitely, According to the Ramah, women should not make... We'll see what happens halacha l'maaseh, but at least the opinion of the Ramah is that women should not make their own Havdalah. They should listen to a man. And the Shulchan Aruch is bringing two opinions, which probably means, in general, this is actually a good question. In general, when the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions, which he does all the time, he brings one opinion, and then he says, there is somebody who says. So which is the real halacha? Is he saying the first one? Or is he saying, like, the one who... And there's also someone who says. So the way the Achronim usually understand, again, it's not so clear, but in general, we usually assume that the first one is the main halacha. The first opinion is the main halacha. So the first one he says, women are obligated in Havdalah. But by bringing that extra opinion, the Shulchan Aruch is usually trying to tell us there is another significant opinion that you should try to be machmir for. That's usually how the Achronim understand the Shulchan Aruch when he says, "This we do this, V'yesh'om," and some say the following. That means really the main halacha, the Ikar Hadin, is the first. You should try to be machmir to fulfill the second. That's a general rule throughout all of Shulchan Aruch. So in this case, it would end up being the same as the Ramah, that a woman, according to both the Shulchan Aruch, both Sfaradim and Ashkenazi women, should try to avoid making Havdalah on their own. Just.
Isn't it also a machlokes for benching?
Whether women have to bench at all? Yeah, I don't remember so much about that. It has to do with the fact that the Gemara says that a person who omitted the word bris cha, that the bris mila in benching, didn't fulfill benching, and if a woman is not obligated in bris mila, so then she might not be obligated at all in benching. I just don't, but it's not a misasei shazman grama. So what do we do with that? I'm not sure.
Okay. So I'm just wondering, if that's the case, we still bench.
Right, women definitely bench. But it's a misasei shazman grama, so theoretically women should be obligated. Should they maybe skip that word or not? That's a different question. Obviously, nowadays, they say the whole benching. But there is some discussion. I just don't remember what it is.
I don't quite understand the compromise. You have either it's daraisa or it's darabanan. Since when do we combine the two and kind of make a third option?
What's the third option?
Well, if it's darabanan, then it's, I guess, more
mild. I understand what you're saying. If it's darabanan, that means the mitzvah of Havdalah itself is Drabbanan,
right.
Not for women.
For women?
No. If we say that Havdalah in general is Daraisa, Why is it Daraisa? Because it's a fulfillment of Zachar. Are women obligated in Zachar? Yes, because it's connected to Shamar. So then women will be obligated in Havdalah. If Havdalah, in general, is Midrabanan, then why is there a mitzvah Midrabanan called Havdalah? Because the rabbis created a mitzvah called Havdalah. Now what kind of mitzvah is that? Mitzvah Saseh, that the rabbis created, Shazman Grama, women are exempt from that. So women, if Havdalah in general is a mitzvah that is created by the Rabbanan, then women were never mechuyavos in that, because that's a mitzvah Saseh, Shazman Grama.
But even if that's the case, wouldn't the more machmir opinion then be the Rambam?
If you hold that it's Daraisa, that would be more machmir, yeah. You're saying, according to the Rambam, a woman is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Havdalah, but she doesn't have to say it herself.
No, she doesn't have to.
I'm saying, if I would be in shul, I'd be Yotzi Havdalah along with the 85 other people with the chazan. So to be Yotzi the mitzvah, you don't have to say it yourself, you just have to hear it. It's not negating. It's having the best of both worlds. We're having women fulfill the mitzvah of Havdalah, in case they are obligated, like the Rambam would say, they might be obligated midoraisa, and we're saving them from a potential bracha levatala, in case the other opinion is right. So therefore, they're not saying any bracha, but they're fulfilling the mitzvah anyway by listening. Correct. Exactly. 100%. For example? It's a great question. In fact, that's the next line I have here, so that means I have to go weiter. Yes. The who asks your question? The... Okay, it's not the next line, it's two lines from now. Yes, the Bach asks Michal's question and says, wait a second. Fine, let's assume that Havdalah is not Zachar. Havdalah is just a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The rabbi just wanted us to make Havdalah. And therefore it's a mitzvah that says Shazman Grama. Women are exempt. But very nice. Women could be exempt from a mitzvah and still do it and still make a bracha, at least us Ashkenazi women. Us. So therefore, if an Ashkenazi woman wants to shake the lulav, she goes ahead and makes a bracha like you all do. If an Ashkenazi woman wants to light Hanukkah candles, she goes ahead like you all do. If an Ashkenazi woman wants to sit in a sukkah, she goes ahead and she says a bracha like you all do. I have a Talmidah from a few years ago who is a Sfardiya, and she always feels bad because she lives in this community where all of her friends are Ashkenazios, and she always feels bad that she's never able to make brachas on all the things that her friends get so excited, like Sfiras HaOmer, for example. So it's hard for her, but you know, I guess that's part of, you know, being a minority and a majority. But I'm sure she could have. Yeah, right. She does get to eat rice on Pesach, so that probably does. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, you're asking a great question. The Bach is asking a great question. Even if it is, we said a minute or two minutes ago, that if Havdalah is just a mitzvah d'rabbana, not zachar, then women should be exempt, because it's just a mitzvah that, mitzvah that says Shazman Grama, women are exempt. We're asking now, great, it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. But if a woman wants to, she should be able to make a bracha even on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, like we do all the time. That's the question of the Bach. Because of your question, Michal, and the Bach's question, which is a very strong question, the Bach suggests that when it says in the Ramah earlier, I told you the Ramah says women shouldn't make Havdalah on their own. I'll read you the words. As Rama said, Lo Yavdilu La'atzman. They should not, I would translate, they should not make Havdalah themselves. The Bach, because of your question, says, no, it doesn't mean they should not. It means they need not. They're not obligated to make Havdalah on their own, because it might be a mitzvah d'aseh shazman grama. And therefore, if you don't need to do something, you don't need to do it. And if you want to do something, then what? Go ahead. Make a bracha on sukkah, make a bracha on lulav, make a bracha on Chanukah candles, make a bracha on Tzvias HaOmer, and make Havdalah, no problem. That is the Bach's conclusion. According to the Bach understands that even when the Ramah says that women lo yavdilu la'atzmon, it doesn't mean they should not, they cannot, they may not. It means they don't need to make Havdalah on their, by themselves. If they want to, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. Whatever they want. And therefore, according to the Bach's conclusion, and this, we'll hold for a minute. According to this Bach's conclusion, women are permitted, a woman is permitted to make Havdalah on her own without any problem. Even if it is a mitzvah saseh shasman grama, that she's exempt from. Great, she's exempt. She chooses to do the mitzvah nevertheless. This is in fact how we paskin. This is in fact how the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham cites that Bach. The Mishnah Berurah paskins like this Bach, and therefore halacha lemaisa, even though the Ramah says those words, therefore women lo yavdilu la'atzman, the way we paskin, it just means they do not have to do it by themselves, they do not have to do it for themselves, but if they wish, they may. I'll just add, the minhag is that women do not make Havdalah. We'll see extenuating circumstances in the next discussion. Yes, questions?
Just to backtrack a bit about Kiddush. So, is there Raisa for a woman?
A woman is obligated to meet the Raisa to make Kiddush, yes.
Why? I mean, is there any reason specifically that would generally get to a man?
That's a good question. Why, if a woman is equally mechuyeves midoraisa, is there any reason for the woman of the house not to make Kiddush? There is. I'm trying to think what the reason is, though. Perhaps, I'm not sure, but perhaps, I don't, again, there is a reason. I'm trying to think what it is. Off the top of my head, the only thing that I'm thinking of is the mitzvah d'rabbanan of having that Kiddush done on wine, specifically, that aspect, the way we do it, might not be d'oraisa. Meaning to say, you know, Atakidash Tosya Mashabas the Kacho, that was Kiddush, wasn't it? Because you said your words, you sanctified Shabbos with your mouth. That's the mitzvah of Zachar. So, but perhaps doing it with wine might make it, I think that might change things. I don't remember. There was an answer to your question, I don't remember offhand. Thank you. Yeah.
So, this is kind of connected to that. Is the mitzvah of Havdalah saying Hamavdil and Kiddush Lechol, or is it including the candle and the...
Excellent question. We will talk about that not tonight, hopefully in a future week. You're asking, is the mitzvah of Havdalah? We're saying that according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So what is the mitzvah d'oraisa? Just saying the words Hamavdil or the other stuff. So clearly, midoraisa, just like by Kiddush, the d'oraisa is remembering with your mouth. That's what the word zachor means. Zachor in the Torah means utter. Doesn't mean think, it means utter with your mouth. So just like by Kiddush it means to speak, so too at Havdalah, the Kiddush Midoraisa, the Havdalah Midoraisa would be with your mouth. The extra things, the Havdalah, the Ner, the Besamim, even the Yayin, is only going to be Midorabanan. Okay?
So
that's an excellent question. You're saying it's time though, but there's still a pretty
it's not like dabbing where it has to be by a certain time.
You're right. That's true. I guess you see, I mean, this is a good point, that time bound doesn't mean that there's a lock-in from, you know, these 30 minutes. Time bound means that, you know, Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., could you say Havdalah? You may not. All of a sudden at 8 p.m. you are allowed to? Oh, so it's time bound. You're right. There's a long time. That's true. That's still called a time bound mitzvah. That's a good point. Okay? Okay, so until now we said that there's a machlokas whether women are obligated or not. And the way that we are passing halacha l'mayis is that even if women are exempt, even if there's no mitzvah on a woman to say havdalah, she could still make havdalah if she wants to, based on the way Ashkenazim always, again, Sfaradim don't, but Ashkenazim always make brachas on mitzvahs if they so choose. The minhag, again, I will reiterate, the minhag is that women do not make havdalah. The minhag is that women do not make havdalah, and we'll see more about this as we go. Okay, let's talk about a situation that will follow the minhag. The minhag is that the man in the family will make havdalah for the rest of the family when he comes home. Let's say that in shul they already said havdalah, which is the minhag in most shuls. They say havdalah in shul. How did that minhag start? Well, it started in a time when the poor Jews didn't always have, the Gemara already speaks about it, there were poor Jews who didn't have homes, and they sort of slept in the shuls at night. And so to take care of these people who were homeless, in a sense, shuls themselves would provide kiddush and would provide havdalah for all the people who need, and now we still continue doing that. So let's say a man hears havdalah in shul. So now if he heard havdalah in shul, he's no longer obligated, he fulfilled his mitzvah. If he now comes home, could he make havdalah for his wife or his daughter? Well, if women are obligated, of course he can. Yeah. Of course he can. Let's back up for a second. Let's say I do a mitzvah. Let's say I blow shofar. Let's not talk about shofar. Let's say I blow shofar, and then I go to the hospital, and there's a man sitting there. Can I make a bracha for him to blow? Can I make a bracha for him on blowing of the shofar? The halacha is that whenever Jews are obligated in something, Jews are mechuyav, then there's a mitzvah of kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh that enables me to, the way it's beautifully articulated by the Ran, is that as long as there's another Jew in the world who has not yet fulfilled their mitzvah, then I have not completely and fully and 100% fulfilled my mitzvah. Therefore, let's say I blew shofar in the morning. I go to Columbia Presbyterian, and there's a man there who didn't hear shofar. So that means I didn't fulfill this. I fulfilled the mitzvah only 98%. There's still 2% of myself that has not fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar. So that remaining 2% of myself that is still obligated can go ahead and say a bracha, l'shma kol shofar, for this person who is in the hospital. According to the same logic, if I made havdalah in shul, I heard havdalah, I was yotzi havdalah in shul, I come home, and there's a person who is obligated in havdalah. So I'm allowed to recite havdalah again, because I didn't fulfill my mitzvah completely until every Jew said havdalah, every Jew who's obligated to said havdalah. And therefore there's a Jew who's obligated to say havdalah and didn't hear it yet, I could go ahead and make it for them. But let's say I come home, and there's a woman who didn't yet hear havdalah. Well, is she obligated or not? If she's obligated, then I could come home and say havdalah for her, even if I already heard havdalah. But according to that other opinion, can I come home and say havdalah for her? I already fulfilled the mitzvah of havdalah, so I shouldn't say it again unless for another person who's obligated. But she's not obligated according to that other opinion we saw. Women are, according to that second opinion, women are not obligated in havdalah. So if that is the case, that a man fulfilled the mitzvah in shul, comes home, then he shouldn't say havdalah for his wife, his daughters, whoever's at home, because he fulfilled the mitzvah and she might not be obligated. In such a case, it would be better for her to say havdalah herself, even though the minhag is women don't say havdalah on their own. But in a case where a man already was yotzi the mitzvah of havdalah in shul, so then he has no right, according to the opinion that women are not obligated. According to the opinion that women are paturos from havdalah, he has no right to say havdalah for them again, because they're not obligated, and he fulfilled his own mitzvah. So for whom is he saying this bracha? If they want to do it on their own, let them do it on their own, but he can't. And therefore, in such a case, a woman would say her own Havdalah. Hold on. This whole point that I'm saying right now effectively never really happens. The reason for that is that we always have Kavanah when we hear Havdalah in Shul. It's not just what we happen to do. The Rishonim already speak about it. The Achronim speak about this. People in general have Kavanah when they hear Havdalah in Shul or Kiddush in Shul. They don't intend to be Yotzi with that. We do it in Shul because it's, you know, a nice ceremony and the little kids get to drink some wine. We don't do it because we actually, there are any of us who are actually fulfilling the mitzvah, because I know I'm going to go home and I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah. And it's true, if there's somebody who is homeless, if there's somebody who isn't going to get a meal tonight or isn't going to make, you know, certainly in yeshiva, that happens all the time. In yeshiva, the yeshiva guys don't have a place to make Havdalah afterwards. So the Havdalah that they make here is the real Havdalah. They do have in mind. But anyone who's going back home and is going to make Havdalah in their house, all of those men, when they're in shul, have in mind not to fulfill the mitzvah of Havdalah, even though they heard it with their ears. Audiologically, they heard Havdalah. They may have even answered Amen to the Havdalah. But they did not intend to fulfill the mitzvah. In fact, they had intent to not fulfill the mitzvah. Their negative kavanah, to not fulfill the mitzvah there in shul. So therefore, whatever a husband or father comes home from shul, he is still obligated in his mitzvah to make kiddush, and therefore he can make kiddush for the women who are in the house. Hold on one second. Yes. Question.
If a woman's obligated, or if she's not, or if the woman's obligated, or if she's not obligated, going by both sides, right? Why can't a husband just listen in shul, and then she can stay at home either way? Like, why?
So I said before, the minhag, even though we said that halachically, if a woman wants to make kiddush, she may, the minhag still is that women don't, if they have another option. If they don't have another option, they are permitted to make kiddush. They are permitted to make Havdalah. They are. If they have another option, the minhag is that they should fulfill Havdalah by listening to a man.
So if you don't have another option, is it
proper? You may.
So go to shul and hear it? Hear it from a man, or stay at home and say it by yourself?
If it's equally easy, it might be worthwhile to go to shul. If it's difficult, then you would not be obligated to.
But then you'd have to tell whoever's making Havdalah to have in mind that other
Well, the one who's making Havdalah usually, you know, has in mind that if there's somebody who needs it, they need it. Even though most individuals don't have in mind that they need it, but if there's a person who needs it, they, you know, that's a good point.
So, if a man comes home and makes Havdalah for his family, and then somebody else gets Havdalah, he can't make it again?
Since that, who's the one who didn't hear it yet? It would probably be... One second. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it would be better for her to do it herself. Excellent question. Yeah, so I'll say that out loud. If a man... This happens to me once in a while. Let's say I made kiddush for my... I made Havdalah for my family, and then there's a woman who's visiting the neighborhood who realizes that she missed Havdalah, and she needs Havdalah, and... can I make her Havdalah? So ideally, the Mishnah Berurah would hold that it would be better for her to make her own Havdalah than for me to make Havdalah for her. Correct. You're right. I don't think that... How do you define another option? It's not an easy... There's no easy way to define another option. If you happen to be walking by and it happens to be, you happen to be outside, it happens to be Havdalah time, go to shul. If you're in your house and it's raining, don't. If you don't feel good, don't. If you're not, if you have to get all dressed, I have to think about that. Yeah, it's a very good question. You're asking a very good question. I'm not going to have a clear enough answer. Maybe I could try to, you know, think it out a little bit more. How hard a person has to try to hear Havdalah from a man. If it's an inconvenience, she could do it herself. If it's a big inconvenience, certainly. If it's a little inconvenience, I think if it's an inconvenience, she can make it herself. Even if it's a, probably even if it's a small, I have to think about it. I'd rather not answer on the spot. Yeah. Abby.
Say for example, in a family, does everyone have to be there to be yotzi?
Yes, everybody who wants to, everyone has a mitzvah, everyone who's a bar bar mitzvah has a mitzvah
to
hear Havdalah with their ears or their mouths. Either you fulfill the mitzvah with your mouth, or by hearing it is like saying it.
I was thinking for the inconvenience to go to shul thing. But if you go to shul, you're probably not going to smell the sumim, and you're probably not going to like do the whole white thing. So then all you're hearing is the bracha. But if you could say that the halacha d'oraita is to utter the mafi open door to the whole, then what's the difference between going to shul and just saying that yourself?
There's still the mitzvah Rabbanan to make Kiddush al Hayayin, to make Havdalah al Hayayin. So that would still
so
be.
So the person saying
the same
about wine.
Yes, so everyone there is considered to have been Yosei with the mitzvah on the wine. It's a good point. It's a very good question. We're going to talk more about it a little. We'll talk about maybe in the next time. Or, yes?
There's like a group of girls.
Good question. If you're planning on going, it's probably better for you to go. Because ultimately, the minig is still to hear from a man, which you're not accomplishing. Despite. Right, right. Again, I presented it very clearly that, of course, women are obligated. That's true, that is what the Bach concludes, but don't think that there are no other opinions. Meaning, I presented it very strongly one way. That's just because I had an agenda. But there are, the simple reading of the Ramah says the words, women should not say Havdalah on their own. I just sort of played with the words a little bit, with the authority of the Bach and the Mishnah Berurah, but that the simple reading of the Ramah still says that women should not make Havdalah. So you're right. When it comes to shav, we're going to conclude a woman is permitted to make Havdalah on her own. But if there is another option, you know, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that women should not say it on her own. So when I say minhag, I mean a minhag that's based not just a minhag. I mean the halacha is its mutter. We have this minhag not to. No. The simple understanding is that women are not allowed to. I prove that it may be that women are permitted to, but the minhag is to be machmer, not to unless it's necessary for a woman to make it herself. But if a woman can hear from a man, that is more appropriate halachically. And therefore that became a minhag. Okay? Yes?
Just along those lines, if the minhag is that basically you take a foot there, right?
It's a machlokas.
But according to the minhag.
If it's daraisa, then they could do it, no problem. If it's darabanan, then they. Then maybe they shouldn't say it on themselves. The minhag is being machmir for the possibility that it's derabanan. That's correct.
Because if you're going to say that it's very possibly derabanan, then why would we try so hard to hear it at all?
Because we want to do derabanans.
Okay.
We're equally obligated to fulfill the rights than derabanans. Well, but it might be daraisa, so you definitely want to fulfill it, but you're not sure if you could say it yourself, right? We didn't nullify the Rambam who says that it's midaraisa, and therefore a woman is obligated midaraisa. There's still that possibility. So if we want her to make Havdalah, but we're concerned, what about that other opinion that says maybe she isn't, so she shouldn't say it herself. But we want everyone to hear Havdalah. That, you know, because the Rambam might be right. Okay? And now, we can get to the fun part. So, we're just going to start it. I don't think we'll finish it. But we'll begin. There are sources in the Achronim. Listen carefully to my words. Oh, let me say it the other way. There are no sources anywhere in the Achronim that a woman who drinks the Havdalah wine will grow hair either on her facial hair or anywhere else. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Achronim. It is a common, broadly assumed assumption. Meaning it's not just like in your seminary you heard that. It is a commonly perceived perception. That it is across wide parts of Klal Yisrael. It does appear in the Achronim that women should not drink from the wine of Havdalah. That extra line says, and if they do, they will start growing a beard. That basically is not found. The first one, based on what I saw, to discuss that women should not drink Havdalah wine, is the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh lived, I don't know exactly, probably the, I'd say 1600s, 1700s, something like that. And the Shlach himself gives a reason. I'll give the reason of the Shlach, and then we'll stop with that, and we'll go through some other reasons next week. Now, the Shlach HaKadosh, we don't call everybody HaKadosh. The Shlach we call HaKadosh. So you can imagine that we're going to have a holy answer. So the Shlach HaKadosh says that the reason why women are not supposed to drink from the wine of Havdalah is because we're taught in the Gemara that Eitz HaDa'as was a certain plant. And there's a machlokas what the plant was. Perhaps it was an esrog tree. Perhaps it was wheat, some say. Perhaps it was figs, and that's why they made a tikkun with the fig leaves. And one common understanding in the Gemara is that it was a grapevine. That was the Eitz HaDa'as. So says the Shlach HaKadosh, since Chava, I'll say that the way it's brought down, and I'll tell you where I found a compilation. I think there are two sources that you could look at. There's a Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim, which I haven't seen. But if you want to have a good time, you could Google Women, Beards, Havdalah. And there's a very interesting person in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Talmud Chacham and a very accomplished scientist. His name is Ari Zivotofsky. You've probably heard of his name in all kinds of unusual halachic applications, like he's the kind of guy who researches how to shech giraffes. He's that kind of personality, you know what I mean? I was fortunate to meet him this past summer. We had a tour of Ir David with him. And he wrote an article about, it's called Wine from Havdalah, Women and Beards. That's the title of the article. You could look at it. I took the main points from that article. The first point I'll tell you now. The rest of it I'll share with you next time, or you could look it up. You could look up at this article if you'd like, or in Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim. It's a 10-page article. It's easy to read in English. So the Shlach writes that since Chava squeezed wine from these grapes to separate from man, so she shouldn't partake or take from the Havdalah, which itself is a separation. I can't say I understand that. That's what the Shlach writes. And that Shlach is the earliest source for this custom that women don't drink wine. So we'll see some other reasons next week. But at least in terms of sources, there are sources that say women shouldn't drink wine, but we didn't see anywhere where that it will make a person grow a beard. He does, and I'll share next week, suggest one possible source why it became understood or assumed or concerned or people thought maybe that a woman who would drink wine would grow a beard. He does suggest a source for that based on an understanding of the Gemara. We'll suggest that will be next week. And we'll talk about some other reasons why women might not be able to drink the wine from Havdalah. Yes? Thank you very much. In the case where a woman makes her own Havdalah, she should not think twice. Magen Avram, who is the one who quotes this Shla, thank you, says not to, that a woman should not drink Havdalah, says clearly that if a woman does make her own Havdalah, she definitely should, could, would. There's nothing to be worried about. And I give you my word that you have nothing to worry about if that ever does happen. Okay? Thank you. That's a very important point. The Magen Avram says that. The Magen Avram who says this halach, that women should not drink Havdalah, he says, but if a woman has to make it for herself, then she could, would, should, don't worry about it. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.